Welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast. And here is your host, Lars Marendorf.
Hello and welcome to the Sport Passion Podcast. As the NHL is visiting Munich with the Buffalo Sabres in town to play Red Bull Munich in the grand opening of the SAP Garden, they also brought a lot of media with them. And one of the media is Dan Rosen, who's one of the main writers for NHL.com. And Dan was kind enough to take a couple of minutes of his time to talk to me, to talk about the Sabres, to talk about his podcast show, to talk a little bit about German players and maybe some players who might break out next season. So enjoy a good 15 minutes with Dan Rosen, and it was my pleasure and an honor to have him on the show. So please enjoy it as well and have fun with Dan Rosen on Sport Passion Podcast. So I'm sitting in the press conference room in the brand new venue SAP Garden with one of the senior writers from NHL.com, and it's a pleasure to have Dan Rosen on the show. Hi, Dan. How are you?
I am doing great, and it is. It's a beautiful building. We're here in the press conference room at SAP Garden, and I'm looking forward to this first game, this first event. It's kind of cool that you get to be here for an opening of an arena. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's still, when you look around, it's still a work in progress. So there's a lot going on here, so it doesn't look finished, but it's still, like you said, it's what is finished is looking good. From your perspective, you've seen a lot of arenas. Is there something unique, new to this one, as you've seen parts of it now?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that I noticed just for the first time in the main bowl of the arena was the boards. You know, the like the LED boards, and it was all the Red Bull logo, and it's changing. And you know, back home we have the LED boards. You can see it on TV, yeah, but you can't see it in the arena. There's some stuff that can, you know, we do add some things, you know, at major events, the, you know, be it a clock or whatever, yeah, but this was just different. And normally you see like white boards with ads on, yeah, them when you're in the arena, but this, you see the whole Red Bull logo and then it changes. So I noticed Jason Zucker, Buffalo Sabres forward, it looked like he got upset after missing a puck on the power play, and he wanted to slam his stick against the boards, and he kind of hesitated because I think he was worried about breaking the boards.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe that could be something asking the players after the game. Maybe, I don't know about the game. I think they've tried it before, but they maybe something that maybe interrupts the players in interactions as well. You got to ask them. You are doing a lot of work around the NHL, so just, if you could just give a little summarizer up about what you're doing for the NHL, and you also have a podcast show. So you just mentioned to me there are a couple of new episodes already recorded. You've got stuff coming up, so maybe you can also advertise that.
Yeah, actually, I would encourage your audience to go back and listen to the one we did last week because we had Leon Draisaitl on. And we talked to Leon. Every year the NHL does a player media tour. They do one in Europe, and they do one in North America. And the North American one is always bigger, and it's closer to the training camps opening. And we talked to Leon there. It was in Las Vegas. And he was terrific. He actually talked a lot about German hockey and, you know, the growth of it too, but also about the Oilers. So that episode's up, and we're recording. It's the NHL At the Rink podcast. I'm going to actually be recording an episode from here in Munich as well, with my co-host Sean Rourke. But I'm writing for NHL.com. It's a senior writer. I do a lot of work for NHL Network as well. Get on there once or twice a week as well. Back home, I live in New Jersey, right outside New York City, so I go to Madison Square Garden very often, and I'm around the Rangers a lot just because it's local. Yeah.
Prudential Center.
Yeah, Prudential Center is 25 minutes from my house. The Garden's 25-30 minutes without traffic. You know, UBS Arena, where the Islanders play, is not that far. It's actually a location that allows you to go to a lot of different arenas without, you know, getting on getting on a plane. I mean, I can hit New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, Boston, either by drive or by train.
Train.
Pittsburgh's not that far. Yeah. So do a lot of that. But, you know, it's a lot of writing, some TV work, podcasts, do some radio stuff. Try to be as multimedia as possible.
I'm always wondering a little bit, how is your schedule set up? Because there are, I know Adam, for example, Adam Kimmelman, from, he's mostly in Philadelphia. So yeah. You mentioned you're located in New York, but now you've got Buffalo, which is New York State, so it's kind of near there. But how's the schedule? Is it just that you guys pretty much sit down before the season and have the main events and say, okay, I'm doing this, or the NHL assigns you to yeah. those events?
Well, yeah, I mean, we kind of know, they're called the tentpole events. We know when they're coming. This is one of them, yeah. the Global Series, Winter Classic, the Stadium Series yeah. game, All-Star, if we have it this year. We're not having the All-Star. Yeah. We're having the Four Nations Face-Off, so that's big. Olympics next year, that's yeah. huge. I mean, I was in Vancouver, and I was in Sochi for NHL.com, and two of my best experiences ever in this job were those two Olympics. Just unbelievable to be there. So you build it around that, but then day-to-day, it's, you know, it's following the news. A lot of it is following the news. Sometimes it involves travel, sometimes it doesn't. For me, you know, if I'm not at an arena or on the road or to practice, I'm at home. I'm working from home. I do the podcast from home a lot. But I try to get out to practices, a lot of Rangers stuff because it's local, yeah. or Devils stuff because it's local. But when the visiting teams come in, if there's opportunities yeah. with players, when the visiting teams come in, that I can sit down with some of those guys at a morning skate, or if they have a practice on an off day, I certainly, you know, budget that into my schedule as well, because it's an opportunity to talk to guys, you know, away from their home market in a more relaxed setting when they're on the road, and, you know, really you can dig in on some stuff.
So the Buffalo Sabres are coming, or have come over to Munich and to Europe, and they are opening the SAP Garden now against Red Bull Munich. The Sabres are one of those teams that in the past couple of years, they were close to make the playoffs, and everybody had them penciled in that it must be this year, it must be this year. Now they've changed their coach, which was pretty much the last big thing they could do. What are points that maybe would make you think that now this could be the year? This could be the year where they finally get over the hump. I think it's been 13 years now, yeah. longest drought in the NHL by far. What makes you think that this might end now?
Well, I think there needs to be optimism. They have a group, a core that's been together. Now, the core hasn't won together, right? But they've been together, and Rasmus Dahlin is the now the captain of the team, and he's the clear leader of the team. He's the best player on the team, and that's one thing, but he's also the clear leader on the team. So that's that core group, Dahlin, Cousins, Power, Jack Quinn, Samuelson, Alex Tuch, Tage Thompson, you know, J.J. Paterka, they've been there for, you know, a number of years now together. So that's one thing. You've grown that core. So that's big. UPL, the goalie, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, you need goaltending. Yeah. And they have not had it, really, since Ryan Miller left. Yeah. And now they think they've got it. They think that maybe the UPL found something last season, and they can run with it. And Devon Levi is the backup for right now. He's very young. It's a good role for him to, you know, hey, get your 30 starts in, feel your way in. So the goaltending is there, the core is there, and now they put a veteran coach in place, a guy who loves Buffalo, is Buffalo, played there, coached there, lives there in the off, never moved, actually. Lindy Ruff went to Dallas. He went to New Jersey. He coached with the Rangers as an assistant, but Buffalo remained his home. And now it's his second opportunity. I talked to him about it. He said he's humbled by it, and it adds pressure to him to do it. But he's got a lot of wins. You know, he's won everywhere he's been. He's had a winning record. So that now, you stand up in front of the room, or if you're a player, you're sitting down there, and the guy standing up in front of the room has a winning pedigree in the NHL. That matters. He's got experience. So all those factors are into place. But I will say, so are the Florida Panthers. So are the Boston Bruins. So are the Tampa Bay Lightning. And so are the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah. They're the top four teams in that division. Buffalo's going to have to knock one of them out, or they're going to have to take a spot away from a team in the Metropolitan Division yeah. to get there, which is possible, and this team could catch lightning in a bottle. But they have a lot to prove. That's why you hear it every year. I think it was last year I picked them to make the playoffs, yeah. and I was like, all right, this is the year. They're coming off. They missed it by one point, and they took a step back. So can this group do it? It's all the pieces are there, but can they do it? They haven't proven it yet.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing is you could pretty much say the same thing about the Ottawa Senators and yep. the Detroit Red Wings. So those three teams, they are kind of like in a bunch, mm-hmm. and one of them has to make the playoffs, it feels like, but mentioned the other two.
We were saying the exact same thing last year.
Yeah.
Last year, the
year before, maybe even.
The difference with Ottawa is I think they're still growing it a little bit. They're not quite, in terms of core, as together as long as the Sabres. And the difference with the Red Wings, because they've gotten no luck in the draft lottery, they've built it through free agency. So the people look at the Detroit Red Wings and say, well, that's a team that's got to come, it could be a young team. Not a young team. Yeah. Lucas Raymond's young. Mo Sider's young. Yeah. But the rest of them are not a young team. Patrick Kane, Comfort, Kopp, right? Yeah. Dylan Larkin's not a young player anymore in this league. I think one of them could break through this year. If I had the pick, if UPL plays well, if the Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen plays well, the Sabres would be the pick. But I'm not picking them over the other four teams in the division. So I would have to say they'd have to be the fifth team in the division, whether they're fifth place or not. And they're the team that they'll take a spot away from Washington, the Islanders or Washington or a team like that, which is possible. It's possible. And look, we saw the way that the Devils played when they really caught it with Lindy Ruff as their coach. They played fast, aggressive, in-your-face, skilled hockey. That's what they've been practicing here in Buffalo. That's what they've been working on. So we'll see if they can do it.
You mentioned J.J. Paterka as one of the core players there. He's had a pretty much a big step forward from his first year to the second year. Just from your point of view, what are things that he has matured in and has learned on the ice? And what are maybe things that you would see he has to improve more?
The first thing you always look to improve more is play away from the puck, right? I mean, that's typically with any young player in the league, their play away from the puck, if they are an offensive guy. And JJ clearly is an offensive guy. I think he had 28 goals last year. He has top-end skills, and he's going to get a chance to play with top-end players. I mean, he's Alex Tuch and Tage Thompson looked, I think those are the line mates for him the start of the season here. That's two pretty good players, and they're big bodies, too. JJ is not small, but he's not big. Yeah. Tuck's big. Tage Thompson's huge. Yeah. And they're going to create room for Paterka to do what he's capable of doing as well. And I think he's just a good goal scorer. I think he has a chance to be an elite goal scorer in the NHL to a point where he could be a 40-goal scorer. Like, that's where he could trend to. And I think that's what you're looking at. Yeah. You're looking at 30, 35, maybe graduate to that. But if he can graduate up to 40, Sabres might be a playoff team. Like, that's the extra goals that you're looking for. And you need Thompson to be better than he was last year. Same with Tuck. But it's the play away from the puck. You always look to improve on that. But they are not looking at J.J. Paterka to be a shutdown specialist. They need him to score goals.
He was on the power play. They practiced
the power play. Yeah, he's a power play guy. They need him to score goals. And that is what I think he does. He will, in the end of his be in the NHL, is a top end goal scorer.
Yeah. I mean, you could see that last year as well. He knows where to be on the ice to get a rebound or to get a shot off. And like you just mentioned, if you shield him with bigger players, then he's got some room there. So I think it's looking great for him this year as well. You already mentioned another German player, Mo Sider. Tim Stützle is over there. Obviously, you talked about Leon Draisaitl being the best player in German history. From overseas, what are things that you might see now from German players that you haven't seen in the past? We had a couple of German players, mostly goalies, mostly defensemen, like Seidenberg or Erhoff was mentioned today in the press conference. What have you seen now in the new generation of German players?
Skill. A lot of it. Leon's the obvious, picture of it, right? He's at another level. I don't think he's the best player in the world because I think his teammate is. But he's a top five player in the world. There's no question about it. But skill. Mo Sider. He's a skilled defenseman. Right? I mean, think about somebody like Christian Ehrhoff was a nice big defenseman. He wasn't a skilled defenseman, right? Mo Sider's a skilled defenseman. J.J. Paterka, we just talked about. He can score. Stützle, playmaker, right? I think what's happening is the coaching here has learned to develop skill over time, over the years. It's just they're developing skilled players here, and it's translating back into North America, into the NHL. where more and more are coming in. And, you know, and it's the programs too. This program here, Red Bull's got a great program. Mannheim obviously has a terrific program. They're investing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money being invested in these programs. The players are, you know, all in on hockey, right? And it's become a bigger sport here. You tell me. I mean, I think it's definitely become a bigger sport here. It's not soccer, but it's become a bigger sport here. And you're seeing the skill development, and that skill development is translating. And now what you're seeing, too, is the J.J. Paterkas and the Tim Stützlers following the Leon Draisaitls.
And they are inspiring the next generation.
And they're inspiring the next generation.
So, it's like the young players have someone to look up to. Yeah. I think that was something that we missed. Like you mentioned, Erhoff, players or young players looked up to him, but he was, let's say, a top pair defenseman, but it was not a franchise defenseman like Seider might be. So, yeah, you just mentioned that. Just from your perspective, doesn't have to be the Sabres. It can be any team. If there's one player there for the next year where you would say, okay, he's been kind of like under the radar, a young player maybe coming in the league, who would that be where you'd say, okay, listeners, hey, take attention of that guy. That might be a guy who could break through next year. It could be from a Sabres standpoint. It could be from any team. You mentioned a lot of teams you are covering, so maybe there's a player you have in mind or two.
There's a few. I think Leo Carlson from the Anaheim Ducks. You know, I remember rookie last year. They limited him at the beginning of the season. They didn't want him to play every game. It was treating him more along the lines if he was on a junior schedule. And then he had an injury. But he's big, he's physical, he's skilled. There's a reason why that he was drafted where he was drafted. He's a guy I'm looking at. That's a team that Anaheim is, no one's paying attention to, no one talks about, but they're building something there. Leo Carlson and obviously Trevor Zegras, and there's a lot more too there that's coming through. So he's one guy. J.J. Paterka's one. You know, I think he flew under the radar because, you know, the Sabres were not a playoff team, right? They weren't a good team, so kind of flew under the radar. Alexis Lafreniere for the Rangers, right? So he plays on a line. It was one of the best lines in the league last year, but he was the third guy on the line. Yeah. The top two guys were all stars.
In the playoffs, he got into the spotlight a little bit more.
In the playoffs, he had 14 points in 16 games. But in the end, he had, this was a number one pick in the draft a couple of years ago. I think he had 28 goals, 29 assists last year. He plays on the line with Artemi Panarin and Vincent Trocheck, who are going to get the bulk of the attention. But Lafreniere is in a contract year now, too. And he wants that eight-year deal if you're going to get. So he's a guy that I definitely think that you got to look at. And look, I mean, all eyes are going to be on Connor Bedard to see what Connor can do in his second year. Same with Brock Faber from Minnesota, and now Macklin Celebrini. Let's see what he can bring to the San Jose Sharks.
A lot of exciting young players coming in. So, Dan, thanks a lot for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you. It's always great to have you guys overseas. So, I don't know, maybe we can talk during the season. I'll hit you up, and maybe if it works out, we can have you on the show as well. Thanks
happy.
A lot.
Happy to do it. I'm glad to be here, too. Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.